You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Three down and now just five to go. At the beginning of this season, when Ange Postecoglou walked into the building at Celtic Park, he faced a huge job to try and reshape a squad and mount a credible title challenge. Yet, with only five games to go, the Premiership trophy is within his grasp. Celtic are 6 points ahead. There is no need to rely on other results. Celtic have got it all in their own hands, and the task of finishing the job that they have started so impressively begins in Dingwall on Sunday against Ross County. On today's Record podcast, we're joined by a former Celtic title winner in Chris Sutton and Record Sports' Michael Gannon to assess the situation going forward. Obviously, last Sunday's loss to Rangers in the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup means there'll be no treble for Celtic. But we'll ask Chris and Michael how the league will unfold after the Premier Sports Cup success earlier in the season and where they feel the squad are placed to try and get the job done. Gents, how are we today? Are we well?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, yourself and yeah. You, Mick, are you all right?
Yeah, all good. The sun's out, the spring's here, so it's all good.
Golf clubs out, Michael?
Aye. Get the gardener will be due any day soon now, I think. The garden needs to get done again this year, so my gardener should be arriving this week, hopefully.
they pay you guys some sort of money, don't they, the Record?
I've only got a small garden, Chris, remember?
Yes, it's a box outside the window. Lads, obviously, Hampden last Sunday for Celtic. We'll deal with that quickly. It was a disappointing day for the team. Got the noses in front against Rangers, lost the semi-final. Chris, as opposed to looking back to the game, how do you think that affects the Celtic squad going forward for the final five games? Does it have any bearing of what's to come?
No, I don't think so whatsoever. In many ways, the defeat may just give the team a bit of a jolt to think that the league was never done. And I never thought it was over. I mean, people are talking about the 6-point gap and the goal difference. I get that. But because of the nature of the split and because Rangers are quite capable of going to Celtic Park and winning, I think the teams are so close and so evenly matched that that's not impossible. And now, I suppose, after Sunday's, not the result, but because of the Rangers' performance, then, you know, there will be Celtic fans who possibly thought that the league was over who will be worrying a little bit now. And with the nature of the game up at Dingwall, Ross County have got a pretty good record. I think, you guys are, you know all this sort of stuff, but I think Celtic were the last team to beat them there back in December. I think I'm right in saying that. And their home record is very good, Ross County's. But in terms of the result at the weekend, Celtic, the run was incredible, which they were on. I was more disappointed with the performance and the way that the team played. They seem to lack a bit of energy, which was surprising. I think Jack Amakis was a huge miss in terms of Rangers pressed them high. They were brave and Celtic weren't good enough and sharp enough to play through them. Having said all that, if Carter Vickers sticks the one in at 1-0, it may have been a totally different outcome and different game, but it wasn't. And I thought on the day, Rangers deserved to beat Celtic.
Michael, Chris makes a point about the Rangers' performance against Celtic last Sunday, and it was good. But the fact of the matter is that regardless, and he also makes the point that there's another game to come between the teams in the league, but regardless of that, given the situation that Celtic have put themselves in, they almost don't have to even consider that game, do they? Four wins against the other four teams gets the job done. That's a factor, is it not?
Well, yeah, they know it's in their own hands. They're certainly a better position than Rangers. I mean, 6 points ahead, the five to go with a massive goal difference. I think it would take a big collapse now to lose the league. I know it's still live. There's a lot to be done, but I think it would be classed as a big collapse if I don't go over the line now.
Would it not be a bigger collapse, Mick? Rangers 25 points at the start of the season. I mean, would you not say that's a bigger collapse?
That's a big collapse in itself. But I do think if you're sitting with 6 points and massive goal difference with five to go and don't win the league, that would be classed as a collapse. I mean, certainly I've done the hard work to get.
So we say that Rangers are quite capable of beating Celtic. Would we?
Well, Celtic have dropped points in three games in the last 26 in the league. They need to drop points in three of the last five. I think dropping points in three of the last five games would be a class of collapse. Yeah.
Is that not slightly disrespectful to the other teams?
No, I don't think so, Chris. I think that's just the nature of a title race, isn't it?
There's a flip side to this as well, Michael and Chris. That should Celtic repeat the Celtic Park performance against Rangers and beat Rangers at Celtic Park and on Sunday week, it's done. There only has one other required at the final four games. So Celtic will look at it in that way. Is that the way Celtic will look at it, Michael?
Yeah, even a draw would be enough to do that. Listen, they're in an absolute prime position. I don't think it's done yet. I agree with Chris. I don't think it's done quite yet because of the nature of the way the league is shaped with the split. You're putting teams in the top half who are the better sides, and there's more danger. And it only takes a defeat and it swings again. And if Celtic don't get a result this weekend, it's completely back on again. So
I'll flip a question. Sorry to break in, Michael. I'll flip a question to the two of you up the sort of running order we had. Does Sunday's game at Dingwall become almost the most important of the lot? By that, I mean, if they win that game, it almost is a free hit. Not free hit against Rangers, but it takes a lot of pressure off that game. Whereas, should anything be dropped at Dingwall on Sunday, it adds massive pressure to Celtic in it into the home game with Rangers. Is it vital that the game is won on Sunday, even though Celtic have room for a slip against one of the other four teams? Do you guys feel it really can't come on Sunday? That's the one they can't slip up on because it just opens the door at a bad time.
Yeah. I think that. I think that people would then look at the semi-final defeat and the semi-final performance as much as anything. And I think Sunday will be a difficult game, and I'll tell you why. Because the pitch at Dingwall, when I saw it a month back, looked pretty horrific. Celtic like to play a quick passing game. And it's not going to suit that. We don't know whether Giakoumakis is fit or not. I think he's a big deal for Celtic in these last five games or so. I know Kyogo is back in, but I think that his physicality and the way that he moves in the box and just giving Celtic a different dimension, he's key. And I don't know when he's going to be back, how bad his hamstring niggle is. But, I think that's going to be a big deal if he's fit. But I think the game in terms of getting the momentum back, that would be the one. And in that respect, so if Celtic beat Ross County at the weekend, then going into the Rangers game, the players will know, one last real push here and the league is done. On the flip side of that, any points dropped, however they're dropped, it'll leave the door open for Rangers. But I think it'll be a tough game and the pitch being a big factor in it up at Dingwall.
Chris, you will be able to give an insight that neither Michael nor I can give, and probably all of the listeners as well, unless your friend Henrik tunes into your Celtic podcast. What's it like in a dressing room? You've been there. I believe you won a Premier League title with Blackburn, is that true? I don't think you've mentioned it. Did you win it? Yeah. And you also won titles at Celtic. You'll have been in that dressing room with guys who haven't been over the course. You weren't over the course, the first time you did it, obviously, at Blackburn. How does it change for players? Does it get nervy? Do people think about it? Give us an insight into what it's like in there when it gets to this.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I mean, at Blackburn, we stumbled at the end, didn't we? I mean, it's interesting because there are similarities in the fact that we didn't come from behind at Blackburn to win the league. And there are, I suppose, this Celtic team would be in a better position than our Blackburn team in having players who have been the course and the distance. Look at the captain, Callum McGregor, being one of them, to that knowledge and that experience to get over the line. I think the only the only person who had won a Premier League in that whole Blackburn team and squad, if you want to call it that, was Kenny Dalglish, and he'd won, you know, many leagues. In terms of playing personnel, it was none. So maybe we lacked a little bit of experience and nous, but you know, we got over the line. I think. Look, does experience help? Yes, I do think it helps, but it doesn't guarantee anything. On the flip side of that, I just think Celtic have to get back to the process and the mindset which they were and have been continuously under Ange Postecoglou, and now they're getting near to the finish line. Just carry on regardless, really. The performance against St Johnstone was excellent. The 7-0, in many respects, I looked at that performance and thought, that might be a little bit dangerous in the fact that, you know, there may have been supporters out there and fans out there who thought, you know, it was going to be like this from now to the end of the season. But I never thought it would be like that, especially in the head-to-head games with Rangers. You know, at the turn of the year, Celtic's form was excellent going into the game at Celtic Park, where they wallop Rangers 3-0, and then the win at Ibrox was massive. But I don't know what you guys thought, but I always thought that would be a really tall order for any team at the start of the year to you know, out of the four remaining head-to-heads to win all four. I thought that was nigh impossible because how closely they are matched. Now, both teams are missing key players, Morelos for Rangers, Giakoumakis for Celtic, but I think the game on Sunday, if Celtic win on Sunday, that takes them, you know, so far. And we're also assuming that Rangers are going to win every game here, aren't we, now to the end of the season? And that's not a given. For instance, 2-0 up against Motherwell, they let a lead slip there. So that's not a given that Rangers are going to win every game. They're going to be on a high because of European competition. And I think that they took that high into the game at the weekend, but you know, there's every chance Rangers will drop points as well, which of course would benefit Celtic.
Yeah, Michael, you obviously listened to the commentary from the players themselves south of the border at the moment between Liverpool and Manchester City, and their mindset is very much the other team is pretty much going to win every game. And is that's how Celtic have to read this, isn't it? That Rangers will win the four games in the split. After the one against, they have to bank on that, don't they, Celtic? They have to.
Yeah, that's always a mindset up here, though. I think that's always the you're always having to assume that the, especially the Glasgow two, that the other one's going to get a result. That's what makes it such a pressurised environment. That's this must win mentality that you have to have playing for Celtic and Rangers, because you can't rely on results elsewhere. So I think Celtic have to think that they need three wins to be guaranteed, and I think that's what they've got to keep thinking. You quite remember as well, I mean, Chris touched on it there, setting up against a good Rangers team. I think there's a temptation in Scotland that if you win a couple of Old Firm games, that the other team are hopeless, and the one that wins is fantastic. That's not the case. These teams are very, very evenly matched. Rangers have just across to a European semi-final. They're a good side. Celtic didn't look at it at hand at the weekend. I thought they were. I think they looked a bit jaded for whatever reason as well. But they're also playing a good team. You have to accept that there's a good side up against.
You made a very good point to the Celtic manager himself on Friday when you spoke to him about that. That Glasgow often has a way of, if one team is playing well, the other one must be terrible. And I think you made the point to him that it could just be that Glasgow, Celtic and Rangers have two good teams this season.
I go back to Chris's time, 2003. So they got to a UEFA Cup final. Rangers won the treble. It was two right good teams, and they both had successful seasons. And I think this year, if Celtic win the league and the League Cup double, if Rangers go on and win the Scottish Cup and get to a final in Europe, they both will have had successful seasons. And weird, in Glasgow, you can't have one happy and both happy at the same time. It's got to be yin and yang. Whereas it actually could be the case that they both have successful seasons. I don't think you'd argue against getting to a European final wouldn't be seen as a success. So it's going to be, it's still, I think Celtic are in such a strong position now. I think they will get over the line. But this game at the weekend, I think, as you guys have touched on, it's fraught with danger, isn't it, Dingwall? It's such a difficult place to go, a difficult environment, not because of the atmosphere or like that, because of the lack of atmosphere. And they say the pitch and the surroundings, a really difficult game against a team that's probably, what, the fourth best in the country this season in terms of form since September. So it's going to be a slog.
Not to mention about 200 quid's worth of diesel to get there.
Mick makes a really good point about, you know, the two teams and them both being good teams. And that, I mean, that's the beauty of the Glasgow environment in many respects. But also, you know, you go back to my day, you know, you think of the Rangers players, you think of the Celtic players who we had, you know, Larsson, Moravchik, Lennon, Lambert. You know, the Rangers players, the De Boers, Van Bronckhorst, Michael Moles, Barry Ferguson. And the teams were so close. So, you know, going into the games, nobody, you know, we all, you know, I saw the record predictions again. And I mean, you know, the last lot of predictions from the record and the ones before, I mean, you lot couldn't have been more wrong, could you, really? In the predictions, you know, you should have gone the other way around. But that's how close it all is. You know, we all have an idea how things go. But because the teams are so closely matched, bottom line is this with Rangers. Van Bronckhorst, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst lost his first two games against Celtic. I think there were Rangers fans out there questioning him. Braga equalised last Thursday night and Rangers are on the brink of going out of the Europa League. OK, there are Rangers fans there. I mean, imagine had they lost the game to Braga, the pressure going on Van Bronckhorst in the, you know, going into the game at the weekend. And he won the game at the weekend and his team performed very well. Van Bronckhorst was never a dud before. Absolutely not. I think he's done a pretty decent job taking over, you know, a Rangers team, you know, under Steven Gerrard, who, you know, something wasn't quite right. And it's like Mick says, just Celtic have been excellent. From Celtic's point of view, you know, this is one defeat domestically in however many games. Now, the Celtic players just have to look at the big picture and think, well, you know, this really shouldn't derail us. This should galvanise us and make us more concentrated on the job in hand and not more determined, because I don't think they're any more determined, but just to play with that real desperation which Celtic need to get over the line. Now, Ross County is a difficult game, but you have to look at it like this. Ross County, what have they got to play for, really?
Europe. I was going to comment on Michael or Mick, whatever you prefer. How do you view the other teams? I mean, in the sense of there can sometimes be a feeling at this stage of the season that some guys are already looking at the holidays. Hearts have got a cup final to look forward to. They'll have guys play. Are they guys playing for places? Are they guys looking after themselves to make sure they're fit for Hampden? You know, how do you look at Dundee United, Ross? I mean, are they relaxed? More likely to go in and play with a bit of freedom against Celtic in the last few games? Or do you think they've got less of an edge that would give Celtic up?
This is what we need to find out. I mean, I think Hearts can now wrap themselves in cotton wool, really, until the cup final. And they're home and dry in third. So I'd imagine you wouldn't see... I can't imagine Hearts would be going full throttle after the split. The other three, I mean, United, Ross County and Mull, they're all probably quite glad to be in the top six. They might actually... I mean, I know there's this European place up for grabs as well, which is it's a nice little carrot for them. But nobody really, if they went, whoever gets that place will see it as a bonus.
I mean, it's a strange dynamic, isn't it, Michael? Because normally, and this is with the greatest respect to the teams that are in it, because they deserve to be in it. But normally, when you talk about the post-top six, you know, the top six games post-split, there's a Pittodrie in there, or there's an Easter Road in there, or there's a... And people are looking at the fixtures and thinking... And people, I get the impression people are looking at the fixtures slightly differently this year, which is disrespectful to the teams who have made it, because they've made it on merit. But if you look at, like, Ross County, Motherwell, it's not... It doesn't feel like top six games that have been in the past.
But remember, Swanee, usually you're thinking Hibs and Aberdeen are in there, right, and it's Hibs and Aberdeen going for that European spot. That is a battle and a half for Hibs and Aberdeen, because they're the clubs that are built to be finishing top four into Europe every year, compete for silverware. These are clubs that are meant to be there. Unfortunately for these two sides this season, they've been hopeless and they're finishing the bottom six. So the clubs that are there now, there's no pressure on them to finish fourth. I mean, they're not going to have people outside the stands with the pitchforks if Ross County don't get into Europe this year, which we get that at Pittodrie. Listen, we've seen managers sacked at Bitodi for not getting in Europe. So it does create
pitch
a different dynamic.
Box. Where do you live? The pitchfork thing, Mick.
Aberdeen. Let's not get pitchforks in Aberdeen and Dingwall.
And fairness, you've got one, so haven't you? Sort the hay out then.
It's an amazing slight on the farming community around the country.
Alan Partey sitting there. For a farming community, Chris, it's going to be you.
Exactly, picked the wrong fight here. the farmer's voice. No, but it's a different dynamic, isn't it? These teams, they have nothing to lose. So does that make them more dangerous, or does that make them slightly less inclined to put the boot in? I don't know.
The pressure's off them, isn't it? But yeah, you know, they'll have their eye on Europe, but you know, as we've seen before, it may free them up. But you know, with Watson's look, Celtic have to just concentrate on the process and you know, and just go back to what's got them into that position, and that's being ruthless, that's being super creative, which I thought they really lacked at the weekend. I thought that, you know, for one of the only times this season, Celtic looked in the final third like they didn't really have any nous, and they didn't create opportunities. And with the change of goalkeeper for Rangers, I thought that they'd put him under far more pressure than they did. And that was disappointing. But as I say, if I was in that Celtic team, I'd think, well, you know, let's look at that as a blip, and, you know, that really kick us into gear now because of the importance of the next game against the Ross County team. Well, they want to get into Europe, but, you know, the pressure's off them. It may be difficult, but go up there and play with an intensity and try and blow Ross County away in the first 30 minutes. You know, I think that's what the Celtic players will be thinking and have to do. They've got themselves, they've come so far, and we mustn't forget that. You know, I really do think that the team have come so far. Celtic fans would have bitten an arm off, possibly at the start of the season, to be 6 points behind going into the last five games. They're 6 points in front, so people are saying, well, it's theirs to lose. But there's still a long, long way to go in this. But in terms of the Celtic players' mindset, it's just about the next game. Win the next game, and that takes them another large step closer.
Can I ask you a question, Chris, about the weekend there? I mean, given Celtic had 8 days to prepare for that cup game, and Rangers have been playing midweek for the last 2 or 3 weeks and Celtic haven't been, why do you think Celtic looked a bit jaded at Hampden?
I tell you what I thought, and I don't know what you guys thought about the game. I thought that the last game at Ibrox where Celtic won, Rangers were, they had a bit of joy early on with the press, but they were slightly tentative with the press at times. But I also thought that the reason Jack Amakas was a big miss is that there was nowhere for Joe Hart to go at times playing out from the back. And we know that the way that Ange Postecoglou wants the team to play and to take chances. But then Joe Hart kept clipping balls up the pitch, and, you know, Celtic didn't have that physicality or anybody to hold it. And then I thought another big part of the game was when Rangers were winning the first ball, they were also winning the second ball and the knockdowns. And I didn't think Celtic were aggressive enough in the middle of the park. Having said all that, I do think that the referee had a large part to play in that and let things go which shouldn't have been let go. But you know, that takes nothing away from Rangers' performance. I thought Lundstrom, who had an iffy start to his Rangers career, I think he's really coming on to good form at the right time for Rangers. But, you know, it's up to Celtic to respond. And just like I never thought after Celtic deservedly beat Rangers at Ibrox that you know, that was the end for Rangers, neither do I think that the defeat by Rangers means that Rangers are going to win the next game at Celtic Park. It's about performing on the day. It's about winning your duels. Celtic didn't win enough of them on the day. But I do think Jack Amakas coming back will give Celtic that different dimension and somebody with that ability to hold the ball. And I thought they, you know, if they're not going to be brave and really get on the ball and try and play through Rangers, I do think that's a problem. So it's something which Ange Postecoglou will have to address or be far more aggressive on the second balls.
I'm just wondering, Chris. I mean, I was surprised that when Celtic got the goal at the weekend, I thought Rangers looked as though they sagged and looked tired at that point, and they were there for the taking. But Celtic never really had the energy to go and kick on and grab the game with the scruff of the neck at that point. And the next time, I thought Celtic looked the ones that looked more tired than Rangers. Yeah. I'm just wondering. Hearing a lot of stuff about training, and they keep saying the same things: that the training's really intense, it's super intense, really intense. Does training need to be intense in April?
Well, I can't. It's very difficult for me to comment on, because, you know, I'm not party to what goes on.
Yeah, that may just be a line they're spinning.
Trainers you play, does it need to be intense? Well, I think it's very, very difficult to question a manager if you look at his track record about his training techniques when he's when he's won titles in the J League, won titles in Australia, he's transformed a team who were so bad last season, lacking energy, lacking a style of play, lacking a brand of football. And he's transformed it through his recruitment. And it's been so quick. I think we take that for granted sometimes. So when there is a blip, and as we know the nature of Glasgow, everybody starts panicking. And it's the end of the world. Celtic have lost a game to Rangers. That means they're going to lose every other game they play against Rangers forever, and vice versa. It doesn't work like that. The teams are closely matched. That, you know, that is it. Celtic were better than Rangers in the last two games. And in fairness to Van Bronckhorst, he's found a way. He was really aggressive with his team selection and said to Celtic, "We're going to press you high. We're going to match you. You're not going to be able to play out." Celtic lacked that out ball or that ability to get out. And you know, then you can look at individual players. I thought Jota was disappointing. I thought he was flagging at the weekend. Abada, I think he hadn't played or started the previous five games. You know, he didn't really carry a threat. I thought McGregor was very good, as always, and they got on top of Rogic, who, you know, Rogic has been a genius against Rangers in so many games. But these things happen. You say, well done to Rangers. And, you know, from Celtic's point of view, you have to think, well, you know, the next game, Celtic are going to have to be aware that they're going to have to be sharper. You're standing in the tunnel in these games, right? You know the before the game. In the dressing room, you know the opposition. I couldn't stand Rangers, right? But we respected them. I respected their ability to play football. You know, the De Boers, brilliant, world-class players. Van Bronckhorst, Arthur Newman, Barry Ferguson was a good footballer. George Albert, Michael Moles. You know, you can reel name after name off. We knew they were a good team. But also, you know, looking around the dressing room, the players we had, Moravcik, Larsson, Lambert, Lennon, Mialbi, Didier Agat was always a big player. What we did know is that in these games that we had to perform at a really high level to win these games. And if we were slightly off it, which Celtic were at the weekend, then we would get beaten because Rangers had some really excellent players. And that's where we're at now. Now, do I think these two teams this year, 2022, were as good as the teams of back in my day? I don't think they were quite at that level, if I'm honest. But I think that they are so closely matched. And over the last 10 years, it has been so strange, hasn't it? Because we know the reasons why, but it's been so one-sided from Celtic's point of view. And then last season, the wheels fell off and Rangers won at a canter. Now both teams are level. And everybody's panicking again in Glasgow, and the feeling's there and the intensity is there. That's the way we sort of want it. But when it comes round again like this, nobody seems to like it. That's just the nature of what it is. It was tense at the weekend. I'll take you back. Cad Carter-Vickers scored. Celtic would have won the game and Van Bronckhorst would have been a dud. That wouldn't have been fair. That wouldn't have been fair on him because, I think he's done pretty well at Rangers, just like I think Ange Postecoglou's done exceptionally well at Celtic. So, you know, we've got two good teams. Scottish football should be really happy that we're in that position, but we know it doesn't work like that. And it's all about pummeling the opposition into the floor. And if they, you know, whoever comes out on top, the other team are hopeless.
I've got three left. Because I know Chris has a lot of important business to be getting on with and needs to get off the podcast. So, of the three questions, I have the first one to Michael and then the last two to Chris. Michael, will Celtic go on and win it? Simple question.
I think they will, but I think there's a few twists and turns still to be had. I think it might go to the wire. I think it might go to the last day.
Wow. Chris, you just made reference there to one or two decisions last Sunday. VAR will now be in Scottish football next season. You've seen it all unfold in England.
Yeah.
Not so successfully to start with, maybe better now. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's going to solve anything, really. You know, maybe they should have spent the VAR money on training the referees to an adequate level, because I don't think the level is there. Is VAR going to solve, you know, I just think it will cause more panic.
It's going to be, listen, VAR is meant to kind of remove the controversy from football decisions, but I've got a funny feeling in Scotland it might add to them.
There's maybe an argument then to get referees from abroad into referee the games, isn't there?
Well, your old teammate John Harrison said, what about getting the VAR guys from down south?
Well, I think VAR hasn't worked particularly well down south. You know, I think that there's been...
Well, I can't understand was... We're getting VAR.
That's like the blind leading the blind, I think. what's happened this season?
We're getting VAR, but it's not till halfway through the season, and we're not getting goal line technology. That sums it up in Scotland. Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine what could happen if there's a goal which is marginally over the line or ruled in for Rangers, ruled in for Celtic, controversially. Then VAR comes in the same. You know, a similar situation happens and it goes the other way. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Whoever came up with that, that's not going to happen. Do you know the biggest issue with VAR is? I think if you look at VAR in the Champions League and in European competition, it works well. I think it worked perfectly well at the Euros. I think down south, what happened is they tweaked with it too much. But, I mean, you know, VAR in Scotland isn't going to solve anything. I think it will actually add to the bedlam, really. And there'll be more theories, conspiracy theories.
All good stuff.
On that note, we'll put an end to this bedlam. Chris, Michael, thank you very much for your time today. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Cheers, chaps.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Good luck.